Amen. Well, it's great to be found in the house of the Lord. I always like to say that. We could be any place else, especially now with football, but you have made it a choice to be found in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, today I just want to share this message. It's kind of like my testimony, actually. This message that I have, this word I have, had a profound meaning in my Christian walk. Profound. And until I really understood what I'm going to share with you today, I really got to understand who my true identity was. And today's message is called Created with a Purpose. Each and every one here, from the oldest to the youngest, is created for a purpose. So this morning, I want to remind you of a powerful truth that is found in God's Word. Powerful truth. And this I have to really bring this in my deep inner self to really understand what the scripture was talking about to me and who I am. And it was a letter written by the Apostle Paul while he was in prison in Rome. And it was around 60 AD. And Paul believed, and you know, there's a lot of things when Paul is talking, and he's in prison a lot. You know, Paul, he was always in prison. For what? It wasn't for doing the wrong thing. It was doing the things for God. And that's how he landed in prison. So anyway, Paul's in prison, and he believed that being in prison was a way that God wanted him to spread the gospel. Isn't that such a weird way that you think being in prison, how to spread the gospel? And as a police officer, I found that to be true because I met some people who were in OCCC, and when they came out, they were a new person before they even got in. And it was because of the transformation that they received in prison from those preaching the gospel, amen? So just like Paul, think about it. How Paul's life is such, he endured so much hardship, Paul. Nothing like what we even did. He was beaten, he was whipped, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked. He even had this painful bodily affliction on him, which the Bible calls a thorn in the flesh. But what do you think he endured? Why do you think how Paul was able to endure was because of his steadfast faith he had in Christ Jesus. And because he wanted to, he loved the churches that he visited. And also, he had a desire to advance the gospel no matter what circumstances he was in. Amen. So that's, to Paul's suffering, it gave the people confidence. And hasn't it been like for you, haven't you gained a little confidence when you hear a story or watch a video of someone who has endured hardship for the gospel? Doesn't that make you just a little bit more confident in when you begin to spread the gospel? I want you to think about just recently we had three youths that went to Mexico. And I know prior to going, I was talking with them, they were a little apprehensive, they were a little nervous, actually they were a little scared to go to Mexico. You know, when we think of Mexico, we think of, you hear all the bad things, drugs, cartels, yeah, they're all there. But when they went, and when they got to share their testimonies, they got to see people who are so hungry for the Lord, and it just change their lives. That the simple testimony, people came to the Lord. The simple testimonies brought people up confessing that, you know what? Thank God, because I'm going through that same thing. I wanted to possibly kill myself. I felt abandoned and alone. Those things brought insurance to these people in Mexico. And when they came back, they actually were saying, you know what? I want to go again. And I just thank God for Pastor Jacob, for he actually kind of endured taking these youths also. But it was for a great purpose. And It just takes the little fire to get the fire going. I truly believe this Mexico trip was an important spark for our youth to want to go back out to the foreign countries because they see the hunger that people have there. You know, thank God we live in Hawaii. You know, we don't have to deal with going out there preaching the gospel, being arrested, or having our lives threatened. Even I talked to our evangelist, Pastor Tony Webb, who is in Thailand. He tells me there was a time when he was out there on the streets preaching the gospel, and a guy came up with a gun and put it up to his head. We've never had that kind of experience here in Hawaii where we had to deal with stuff like that. But those are the things that Paul, in his times, went through. Not so much a gun, but all these other things. So just this past Friday, I want to share with you. I know I'm getting a little bit away from it. This past Friday, we had our ARC night. Our ARC night downstairs is with our youth. And we had three youths testify. And it was so, so powerful watching. Kanai was the first one who talked about, standing alone when his other friends, and now these are young adults, teenagers, when his other friends are teasing, mocking God, making fun of things, it's hard to not get caught up with that. So he says, the hard as a teenager to stand alone for God sometimes. And these peer pressures that our children go through is real. And then this next, Kwang Sung, had two of their youths. This one girl she was one of the most shyest girls I ever seen in my life. Even more shy than my granddaughter, London. But she went up, and it was so powerful. She talked about Philippians and about anxiety. And she spoke with such clarity and such strength in her voice that you wouldn't believe that she was so shy. And then Kwang Sung's pastor's son, Jeremy, spoke about anxiety, how he had a major anxiety attack, and how he had an encounter with CEF. And I know you folks are aware with CEF, that's Child Evangelism Fellowship. That's the organization that we sponsor. What it is they take youths on a 2-week teaching to Molokai and have them be able to come back and share the gospel in front of elementary students. Well, Jeremy said that in that 2 weeks, the Lord touched him. The peace of God came upon him. He was delivered from that anxiety. And this was a major anxiety attack. And the peace of God came upon him, and no more was there any more anxiety. It was such a powerful Friday night. So my message, let me just get back to my message. The Apostle Paul is credited with writing 14 letters throughout the New Testament to churches like Corinth and Ephesus and to individuals such as Timothy and Titus. And these letters that he wrote provided guidance on doctrines. It was about daily Christian living. It talked about pastorship, church leaderships, encouragements, warnings. The letter that I'm going to share with you today was to the believers in Ephesus. And it was to encourage the believers to live out their new identity in Christ. And what it was to promote unity between the Jews and the Gentiles, because God's plan was for Jews and Gentiles to come together to his son, Jesus Christ's death on the cross, and to ensure believers that they were living up to their heavenly calling. So today, the point I want to make with this message and this letter I'm going to share is that you and I are created with a purpose. Whatever that purpose is, you and I are created, and that purpose is God's heavenly calling on our lives. Amen? So today's Bible verse is Ephesians 2:10, and this verse, as I said in the beginning, had an impactful on my life, an impactful allowing me to see my identity. This is what it says. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece." I just love the New Living Translation. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago. That means the things that God has planned for us was before we even came to know his son. Amen? So this is to let us know. And this also reassured me that I'm no accident. You are no accident because we are God's masterpiece. Just think of that word, masterpiece. We created for purpose. And we are created with intention. So as we explore this passage, I want to point out how this passage transformed me to understand God's truth and let us know that we are uniquely created for his good works. Amen? So the first point I'm going to make is we are God's masterpiece. So in the Greek Bible, the word masterpiece is poema, which means work of art or a creation. So Paul's declaration for each of us is that we are God's poema, which signifies we were intricately and wonderfully made by God. There's a verse that in the Bible that says that we are not just a random occurrence. You, me, everyone here, we're not just a random occurrence, but we are a deliberate design by a masterful creator, which is God. So this understanding allowed me to understand my sense of worth and purpose. And I hope it has that same for you. So I want to show you this first slide. When me and my wife went on a trip with my son and his wife last year, we got to see some amazing masterpieces. And we went to the Sistine Chapel in Rome, and we got to see the painting by Michelangelo. And the picture doesn't do it its justice, but it's just amazing. When you walk in the Sistine Chapel and you look up at the ceiling, it's just paintings on both sides, on the top, and it's just incredible. You just get blown away by, for one thing, the ceiling is pretty high, you know, and by just looking at all the paintings, it actually, when you look at a lot, it tells the story of the Bible. There's a lot of stories. There's the flood, there's creation, there's all these different stories throughout the Sistine Chapel, and that was so, so amazing. And then the next masterpiece, I think for me, was the most amazing, is when we went to Italy and we got to see the marble statue of David. Now, it may not look like that big, but this statue is huge. It's like, I think it's almost 20 feet high. It's a huge statue. And when you think about it, it's made out of marble. And those who know how marble is, I know prisoners, marble is a very strong rock. And just imagine how he was able to do this sculpture. He didn't have power tools and all that stuff. And if you look at the next photo, what really made me blown away was the intricacy of the hand, his body. It was just like, it looked like looking at a real hand. And it was just so, so, so amazing. And I was thinking, man, what a unbelievable masterpiece. It was just so amazing. And then we went to Paris and we saw the Mona Lisa. Now, to tell you the truth, I wasn't impressed with the Mona Lisa. I wasn't. To tell you the truth, well, this is me now. I'm not an arts person. I know some art people. What is this guy talking about? I wish I had a closer picture, but it looked like it was a nice fit. But to tell you, I've seen better portraits. In fact, I see a beautiful portrait by Pastor Moses. Although Pastor Moses' portrait, to me, it looked better than the Mona Lisa. But I'm sure Pastor Moses' painting is not the same priceless of the Mona Lisa. Why? Why is it? Because, like I said, it's an okay picture. I mean, but it's because of who the creator is, what makes it is. Pastor Moses has beautiful art too, but it's the creator. Although he told me he saw the painting one time for $50,000. I said, oh my God. But anyway, I wasn't that impressed. But you wouldn't believe the thousands of people crammed up in this little room to try and look. It's behind like a glass wall. If you're claustrophobic, you could never go see the Mona Lisa because you're like standing like this and it's like, this is so uncomfortable to see this. But again, these are just amazing masterpieces. But when you think about all these math, these are priceless art. There's no cost to these art. But I want you to just think about when God calls us his masterpiece, we are even more priceless than all these arts, than the Statue of David, than the Mona Lisa, than the Sistine Chapel. Why? It's because of our Creator who created each and every one of us. He calls us his masterpiece. Isn't that so good? When I got to begin to start understanding that, I began to see myself, because I had a real low self-esteem of myself before, but knowing that I'm God's masterpiece began to remove that wall of low self-esteem, because God would not have created someone by mistake. He wouldn't have created somebody to have doubt on himself, because the way we see ourselves is because we see ourselves through our own eyes. But God sees us through his eyes. And when God sees us, he calls us his masterpiece. Amen. Isn't that so good to know that we are God's masterpiece? It's so, so good, because every time our worst enemy is the person in the mirror. And you know, we are our greatest critic. And the saying is so true for those who maybe look at themselves as maybe not how God looks at. The saying, you heard the saying before, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And what that means is man sees our outward appearance. Sometimes it may not look like, you may not look good. You may say, Lord, is this all you have for me? Or Lord, you can't use me because I can't talk. I don't know your word enough. I am too shy. I am this, I am that. Have you ever done that to yourself? Lord, I'm choose someone else. Even Moses said that. Moses told God, "Look, God, can't you choose someone else? Why are you choosing me? I'm not eloquent with words." But we begin to talk like that. It's true. It is true. Whatever you say is true, because why? That's how you see yourself. But God sees us through his eyes. And that's what allowed me to begin to change my way of thinking of myself. Because God would have created someone who doesn't look good. God would have created someone who, I used to say, my voice don't sound that good. People want to hear my voice. God would not have created someone like that. Because why? We are created in his image. And when that concept began to sink in me, God created you, me, and you hit my image. And he even kept on reminding me, you are created in my image. Satan wants you to think that you don't look good. Satan wants you to think that you're not able. Satan wants you to think all these things. But I want you to know that you are my child. He kept on telling me, and you are fearfully, wonderfully made. Amen. So we need to remember that your inner thinking, I learned this, your inner thinking of yourself has a powerful effect on your life, the way you think. Amen. When you think about it, the way you think can influence your actions. The way you think can shape your circumstances. Your inner thoughts can lead to outward reality. And because I was putting all these negativities into these gates of mine, whatever enters your gate, and when I say gate, I'm talking about my ear gate, my eye gate, my mouth gate, whatever enters these gates, slowly starts becoming a reality. Amen. So listen to what Paul says in a letter to the church of Philippi. He says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there be anything worthy of praise," he says, "think about these things." Amen. think about those things. So when I read the scripture, I told my mind, that's why the Bible says give us a sound mind, because the enemy is going to attack us. And I said, mind, begin to take in the things that are pure and lovely and with a good report of excellence, worthy of praise. And as I've been slowly training my mind to do that, the outward reality began to come forth. Amen. And the same thing can happen to each and every one of you. So I want to end my first point with this scripture. It comes from Psalms 139, verse 14. It says, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Amen. So I encourage you that we need to begin to celebrate our uniqueness and complexity as God has intentionally designed each and every one of us. We need to begin to embrace who you are. And that's what I beg you to do. I begin to embrace who I am and live confidently. That's one word that was really helped me. I have to live confidently. Confidently is so important in the knowledge that you are marvelously made. Amen? And so the second point in that scripture is he has created us anew in Christ Jesus. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. So to my faith in Jesus, God began to transform my spiritual identity, moving me from my state of sin and spiritual death, and began to renew me and restore me into a relationship with him. And that's what happens when you begin to get transformed. You begin to get into this relationship with God and desire. I had a desire now. I then began to have a desire to live for his purposes. Amen. Not for what the world says, but for his purposes. And one of the things that was really helpful to be a part, I was now a part of a new community of God's people, the church. The church, I begin to surround myself with God's people. That's so important to begin to surround yourself with God's people, because what happened for me was that atmosphere that I was now around began to help me recognize my identity in Christ. Amen. And we have such a great marriage connect group, my wife, Pastor Deborah and I, and we have a couple couples we had yesterday. And it's so powerful because what it is, and that's what it's all about, this community. It's about sharing victories with one another, sharing struggles, because when we do that, it helps us to live a victorious life with our marriage. So it was so powerful as we share with each other, because we all have struggles. We all have struggles. We all have victories. But through our struggles and victory, we help one another out. And that's what community is all about. And that's what church is all about. Church is great to hear messages, but church is all about coming around community. And you know what that's like when you begin to surround yourself with God's people. So again, if you're not at a connect group, get in a connect group. If you want to be in our marriage connect group, we meet Saturdays at 9 o'clock downstairs. Just let my wife know and then we'll make room for you. But being created anew, as the scripture says, it signifies a radical change that occurs when we accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if there's anyone here that hasn't experienced that radical change in your life, come see me after this message and I'll help you make the best decision you ever make in your life. Amen? So this new creation is not just a mere improvement of the old self, but what it is, it's a complete transformation. It means that our past sins, failures, don't define us. You got to remember, don't allow your past sins and failures to define us. Because so many people I meet that struggles, why? Because of their past things. They cannot let go of those failures and all those things. But when we let them go, that's when the complete transformation begins. I remember I was and I don't know if some of you have gone through this, is I thought in my life I was being transformed. But in reality, rather than a transformation, only a renovation was being taken place in my life. And let me explain what that is, because transformation is being set, being something new, something totally different. But when you think of renovation and Prince and other people in Christ, you know what renovation is. We're just taking the old, maybe covering up the old, putting some new stuff. We repaint the house, make it look nice. But in actuality, all the old things are still there. And when I thought that I was being transformed, I was actually just allowing a renovation. And what that is, just think of your yard and the grass. And before you put the grass down, there's a whole bunch of weeds on the grass. And you get your weed in, you cut off all the weeds, everything looks nice, so now you lay the nice grass down. And maybe a week, month, 2 months, slowly the weeds start coming back up. These weeds of fear, the weeds of anxiety and depression, all these weeds slowly, because why? I didn't address the initial cause of those things. I didn't dig deep and get those roots out and start anew. I went for just making it look nice, the renovation. So if you want total transformation of something, you gotta totally make a break from all those things that are holding you back with these things. Amen. So 2 Corinthians 5:17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and the new life has begun. So as a new creation, we are called to live a transformed life. Transformed life. Our actions, our words, our thoughts should reflect our new identity in Christ. Amen. Let this verse that I just shared you inspire you as you walk in the newness of life. Leaving behind all those things that are old and embrace all the new purposes that God has created for each and every one of us. In fact, in Ephesians, this is another letter that Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus. This is what he says in Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5. He says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Isn't that so amazing that even before the world was formed, God loved us and chose each and every one of us to be holy and without fault. So in God's eyes, we're faultless. In God's eyes, we're holy. Amen? God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. Each and every one of us here are a child of God. We are part of God's family. God's family. Amen. Each and every one of us. And it says here, this is what he wanted to do. This is what God wants us to do, is to give him great pleasure. Amen? And that's what the scripture says there. He wants us to give, which leads to my last point. My last point gives God great pleasure. As the scripture was saying, that we are created anew in Christ. Why are we created anew in Christ? Is to do the good things he has planned. Amen? So, this last part of my verse, Paul concludes that by highlighting the purpose of our new creation in Christ to do good works, the Greek meaning for good works is ergon, which refers to deeds or actions, which emphasize that our faith is to be lived out to visible expressions of love and service. That's what we are called to do, each and every one of us. So think about it. God has preordained good works for us to to walk it. Each and every one of us, whatever that good works is, God's going to reveal that to you, indicating that our lives, each and every one of us, has a divine purpose. Amen? So these works, when you think of, I'm not talking about works, has nothing to do with our salvation, because we're not saved by works, but our works are an evidence of it. Each and every one of God calls us, because the Bible says faith without works is dead. Amen. So we are saved by grace through faith to serve and glorify God through our actions. Amen. And I apologize today. I know it's getting kind of hot, but one of our air conditions is down. So that's the reason why. So if you want to move a little bit to this side, you can, because this air conditioner is out. I apologize. We're going to get it fixed on this week, tomorrow. So I see people fatty. I said, it's not because of it's hot in here because of the air conditioner, not anything else. Amen? So we are all called for good works, each and every one of us. Amen? And there were times where I miss opportunities that God placed before me. Because that's what he says. He says that he places opportunities for us. But there were times where I missed these opportunities. I don't know what it was that I missed these opportunities. It could have been fear. It could have been pride to seize the moment. But there are many times I missed opportunities. Don't let these opportunities pass you by. Whatever they are, don't let those opportunities, it's those God moments that he wants for you to reach to someone. Amen? He desires to actively seek to bless others to advance his kingdom. That's what we are called to do. And I thank Matthew for his group that goes out to, and Diane who goes out on Thursday, throughout the whole week, they go to Waikiki and pass out tracts, and people have been coming. I think Doris and Davis were from Matthew. They're here, sir. In fact, they're in our couples group. Such a great couple. And that's all because of people actively going out, doing what God has called us to do. Amen? And God has called each and every one of you here to also serve in his church. Here at the Door of Faith, I'm saying this is his church. And I just want you to know that we here have a lot of vacancies that could be filled. And I know for a fact that there's vacancies here with your name on it. So just pray about it, and God's going to reveal to you what that vacancy for you to fill is here at the Door of Faith. Because that's one thing that Jesus did when he came. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And we as his children, that's what we do. We serve at his church. We serve out there in the community. But we are called to serve in some capacity. Amen? So let me just read that scripture again, James 2:17. And this is the New Living Translation. And listen to how it says. It says, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. Amen? It is dead and useless. So here, James is addressing that working our faith through good deeds shows our true faith through our actions. Amen? That he challenges us to demonstrate our faith through our good works. And I like what our model for this church says, because it says, action with living faith in God knows no defeat. So what is living faith? What do you think living faith is? Because that's our motto here at the church. And let me tell you what living faith is in one sentence. It's an active, growing commitment to express itself through obedience to God's word. That's what living faith is. And that's why the Lord placed it on my heart, to put that one word in front of our motto. It wasn't to change the motto, but it was to add a requirement that God has for us to have a victorious life. So in other words, our Bible would say obedient action with living faith in God knows no defeat. Amen? It's all about being obedient. So let this verse change your thinking and begin to have you examine your faith through works while living on this earth. Whatever it is God has called you to do, whatever it is, helping the church through construction, whether it's helping church to clean up, or helping in the kid children's ministry, or the youth ministry, or the teenage ministry, or whatever ministry, I want you, each of us, to examine what God has called you to do. Amen? So, in conclusion of this message, like I said, this is just a message of how this scripture transformed me. And I hope you let this scripture transform you the way you think of yourself. Amen? So, as we reflect on God's masterpiece, that we are created anew in Christ and called to do good works, let us embrace our divine purpose. We have a divine purpose with enthusiasm and commitment, each and every one of us. So when we begin to recognize our uniqueness, living out our new identity in Christ, and actively seeking to fill good works that God has prepared us long ago, because God has not called us to stay home and do nothing. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that idle hands are the devil's workshop. Idle lips are his masterpiece, are his mouthpiece. Stay busy for God. We got to stay busy for God, amen? So today, I encourage you to spend time in prayer and ask God to reveal those good works he has for you and how you can serve in his church. Amen. And as we begin to commit to living out our faith through these acts of kindness, to service, to sharing the love of Jesus to others, let us understand that this transforming life in each and every one of us, go out and impact others. Amen. Shall we stand? Today, may we all be inspired to discover and fulfill our God-given purpose, living as masterpieces in a world that desperately needs his love. For we are all created by God with a purpose for such a time as this. Amen. So, Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this quick, short message today about how each and every one of us are called and created for a purpose, that we are your masterpiece, Lord, that you see us as perfect. You see us as holy. You see us how the world does not see us, Lord. And we just thank you. May we begin to embrace all these things that you have called us, that we are. That we are all, each and every one of us, are created anew in your Son, Christ Jesus, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for just allowing your Holy Spirit to begin to guide us as we walk daily. Help us as we begin to get rid of those things that hold us back, that keeps us from getting closer to you, Lord. I just thank you. And let us get into a community of believers, Lord. Whatever it is, Lord, that we begin to surround ourselves and begin to just share your love to this world, Lord. We just thank you. And we just give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. And we all said, amen. Amen.